Excellent. Hey, Steve, how are you today?
I'm great, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Man, I loved part one of this documentary. It is it's so terrific. And well, I know Billy's involved in this, but it didn't seem like anybody pulled a lot of punches in this one.
Well, you know, Billy's involvement really was the fact that he opened up the vaults of the archives and he sat for some interviews. But one of the things that was really important to the filmmakers, Susan Lacy, the two directors, Susan Lacy and Jessica, was that if they were going to tell this story, they needed to be able to tell the complete story. And, you know, Billy has said many times that, you know, his life is in his songs. He doesn't need to talk about his life experiences. But I think at this point, at this point in his career and in the life cycle, it was like, all right, if you want to tell the story, go ahead. But, you know, it was a very big decision for him to do this because he knew that he would have no editorial control. And that was kind of the, you know, the rubber beats the road part of it. So I think that that is why there were no punches pulled. And listen, you know, we've all lived a life. Billy starts the movie by saying, the most original thing I've ever done in my life is screw up. How human is that? And how universal is that story? So you can't throw that gauntlet down and then pull your punches, right?
And I think it says a lot about him, too, that he talks early on in the film about seeing this rock star Billy Joel as a separate guy, that he thinks of himself basically as a musician.
I mean, that's what he's always been like. You know, people ask me, like, what's it like to work and be, you know, hang with a guy like this? It's like he's Bill to me. Like, I have to remind myself, the house lights go out, the people scream, I turn the lights on him and I go, oh, right, that's Billy Joel. Like, you know, he is really all of that. He's exactly how he presents himself. There's no false humility there. That's who he is.
And you've been with him since 1974 and all kinds of different duties along the way. What's been the secret of the success of that relationship?
Honesty. Honesty. I mean, I don't lie to him. I don't try and make myself better than I am. I don't try to impress him because that's how he is. Like, you know, I learned a work ethic of how to do this with him, from him. So I think that's it. I think he knows that I don't bullshit. You know, we don't spend the time complimenting each other on how good we are. Like you know, if you ask Billy, if you tell Billy at the end of a show, hey, great show, man, the first thing he'll say to you is great audience. You know, he'll, you know, and it's not deflection. It's just how he looks at life. And I'm the same way. So, you know, people will say, oh, it was a great show. Well, no, I have a great team that puts a great system together so I can fly the plane. And then I think that's probably the through line in all of it. Plus, I'm a flawed guy and he loves guys who... flawed.
We knew as fans that he had a tough childhood, but boy, the film really tells the story of the struggles with his dad leaving, his mom with some challenges of her own, a supportive when she could be. But I love the line somebody says in the film, there was poor and then there was Billy Joel poor.
Yeah. I mean, look, he, you know, lower middle class, the lower part of the lower middle class, you know, listen, at that time, you know, yes, he was in a house, you know, he wasn't in a walk up with four other families. But, you know, the suburban life was a sort of black and white kind of world. And, you know, I grew up the same way. You know, my parents didn't have any money. We ate, but barely. And I think the thing with Bill that was so important about those young years is that music was always there, and his passion for music and his passion for reading and you know, filling his mind with thoughts and images. I think that was fostered by his mom, and you know, she was a great supporter of all of that stuff, regardless of how difficult that time was. So you learn about that. You also in part two learn about the origin story of his family being Holocaust survivors and his European origins and what his love for classical music, you know, the origin of his love for classical music, where that comes from. Susan brought all of that stuff out in this film brilliantly, I thought.
We're talking with Steve Cohen on Downtown. One of the great stories in part one is the George Martin story. George Martin came interested in possibly producing. Here's a guy that he has looked up tremendously for his work, But when George Martin said, yeah, love to work with you, but don't want the band. And Bill's response was, love me, love my band.
Yep. And you know, not only is that an important career turning point, but if you follow that through line to the productions and the songs that you hear in the next three or four records, you know, every time we would play live, people would say, gee, it really sounds like the record. Well, the reason it sounded like the record is that they would record these songs the same way they played them live and then replicate them live. So, you know, it wasn't brain surgery. It was like Billy felt that this was his sound. Phil Ramone agreed with it. And what you get is a performance of the song Stiletto at a live show in Houston, which we use in the film, which is just a single performance that sounds exactly like the record because that's how they recorded it. So it's, you know, there was a method to this madness, and it proved incredibly successful because when you would go to see Billy Joel, you would hear what you heard at home. And I think that's what, you know, to this day, when we played these shows at Madison Square Garden, there's no rearrangements and long solos. It's all exactly the way it's as close to the way it sounded on the record as possible.
Episode one also tells the story of his relationship with Elizabeth, his first wife, and how important she was as a muse, as a manager, as some referred to as the general, and how she was a big partner in that early success.
Yeah, and you know, that I'm most proud about that in the film because I remained friends with her when, you know, I affectionately say after she left, she went into the witness protection program. She basically disappeared because she didn't want to be part of the industry anymore. She wanted to move on with her life. And I believe that her story was maligned and was misrepresented over the years. And I felt that this was an opportunity not only to right that wrong, but also to, you know, show people, you know, this glorious moment of creation that lasted for 4 or 5 years when I was there watching it happen. Like, I saw this stuff happening and it was like, you know, it wasn't just the guy going in the studio recording. There was a lot of work that went on that she made happen. You know, he had it was a tough thing, you know, to have your wife manage you because, you know, as Liberty says in the film, it's a tough rub when the wife wants to do something, when your manager wants to do something and you don't agree, you know, it's a hard rub, he says. And I watched that happen. And I felt that, you know, if I brought her in for Susan and made her feel comfortable with Susan Lacy, which I think was my primary role in all that. I mean, once they met, they were fast friends because they're both strong women, they're both creative people, so I knew that they would get along like a house on fire. But I think when they got together and Susan got a sense of the person that Elizabeth was, she realized that it needed to be, you know, sort of the anchor for part one. And I think Billy even saw a part of that relationship that he'd long since forgotten. You know, the old relationships, they go on the, you know, they go in the way deep memories and you don't think about them after a while. So I believe that there's a really good positive outcome from telling this story for her and for him in remembering that stuff.
Before we let you go, I know people want to know, how's Billy doing? How's he feeling these days?
Doing great. He's doing great. He's, you know, he's working at, you know, the recovery for the process of what he's got going on. And but his spirit is great. He's spending great time with the family. You know, he's happy. He's very pleased at the reception of the film. He's sort of blown away by it all as he usually is. So, yeah, he's good. He's
Excellent.
Been real good.
Well, it's terrific. Can't wait for episode two, coming up on Friday. And so it goes. Steve Cohen, great to talk with you. Terrific work. Keep on keeping on, my friend.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that.